I'm going to start, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 13. If you've not got your Bible, don't worry, I'm going to read it out. If you ever get your Bible, read along. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. And as the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulged in pagan revelry. We must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. Don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So if you think that you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. See, the temptation in your lives are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted to be more than you can stand. For when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. I'm going to start off by just telling all yous, I am nae theologian, and I'm mixing it up. This week there's nae PowerPoint, it's just me. Alright, so for me, as I'm reading this chapter, it starts off with, I don't want you to forget, and it just screams to me, it's that thing that me mammy or that used to warn me about, or other people used to warn me about, don't you forget. You are about to hit the stupid button. You're about to throw common sense, you're about to throw wisdom out the window. Beware. Now, I've heard that warning many, many times in my life, and I have ignored that warning many, many times in my life. But a warning generally comes because something's happening that's happened before that didn't end well. Exodus 23:6 says, so the next day the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. And then Exodus 24 says, you shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. The people of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, continued to go and worship other gods, to build up idols. And generally, now if I get the Baal, is it Baal? Is that how you pronounce it? Nailed it. Baal of Peor, right? And part of the worship of Baal included sexual immorality, prostitution and stuff. And what is that doing? What is it trying to serve? Like it serves to a desire, doesn't it? A destructive desire, as we know. If we indulge in sexual immorality and we go and do something that's an offence to God, what are we doing? We're distancing ourselves from God. But what we're doing is we're taking the glory of how our life should be lived in praise and worship of God. And what we're doing is we're tarnishing that and we're praising and worshipping. If it's not God, then what we're doing is serving an enemy. We're bowing down to him, we're bowing down to false gods, which are going to drag us deeper into a wilderness. It's not going to set us free from a wilderness. So there's this warning, stop. I wish there was, I don't want to live with what ifs and regrets, but there was so many times in my life, I wish I had just stopped. I wish I had listened to my ma, my wee mam and da. Listen, you. It usually came with a clout round the lug as well. Listen, you, just to make sure that you know, they had my attention. Or the belt that was never ever used for holding up jeans. Now, boy, we go for that belt, man. I could already be like, oh no, here it comes. Because there was a warning coming. Why? Because most parents want to pass on their experience to their children of, look, I've made these mistakes. It didn't end well for me, but then I done this, and it worked out. And God's saying to his people, stop doing it. Look at the evidence from the past. Look at the evidence from the ancestors. Check it out. It didn't end well for 23,000 in one day. You think when somebody was about to just get stupid again, when the stupid button was about to be pressed again, somebody would have went, oh, remember Davy? Aye, I remember Davy. Remember what happened to Davy? Aye, he was one of that 23,000, wasn't he? Just saying. He'd be like, all right, I'm not going to press that button. I'm not going to press that. But with Dave, something that I think about time and time again is let me read this out, because this is kind of hitting on it. Hebrews 12:1 reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. And we want to run that race, but there's that sin that so easily entangles. It's so easily. And why does it so easily? Because sin's generally wrapped up in something that looks appealing. Do you know, sexual immorality, you know, drugs, whatever it may be, it comes from something that feels good. But some sin feels good. I know, I've done a lot of sinning. And at the beginning, it felt good. Huh? It felt good. But it doesn't end well. You see, that's what happens. We've got an enemy that shows up and he shows you Vegas. Shows you all the lights. All the lights and the partying and the whooping and the woo and the big fancy cars and that. It doesn't show you the end when you're in the gutter, hopeless and in despair. And what is it? It's sin that so easily entangles. Why so easily? Because we're chasing after it. It's a desire that's in us. There's something in us that desires it. So it doesn't take much sometimes for us to succumb to it. It just doesn't take much for us to get on. And what happens when you get all tangled up? You're trapped. You can't move. You're caught. You are caught. You ever had like the wane on one of them wee strings, so it's got a dug in it, it's got a dug in a lead, so it doesn't run away, but then they run round you, and you've got a shopping trolley with a dodgy wheel and all that, and you're done, you're knackered, don't you? You can't go anywhere. Oh, what? Well, that sin that so easily entangles, it's something that, and sometimes we're just wrapping it round ourselves, and we're trying to give you, you know, the enemy, oh, it's the enemy, no, it's you as well, it's me as well, I'm doing it, I'm... And before I know it, I can't move. And I'm like, what happened there? How can I no move? How am I not hearing from God? How did that happen again? How did that happen again? And every time God's like, ah, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it's like, you know, the misery's in a post. Despair's in a post. Pain's in a post if you continue on. And you're just, ah, whatever. Please stop. Stop running alongside you as you're running right into your sin. Stop, stop. Look, you're nearly there. Stop it. And then you're in it again. And again. And again. And again. And again, and what happens when that happens again and again and again, and I'm saying again a lot. Why? Because it does happen again and again. And if you keep hitting something again and again, what happens? It gets beat down, doesn't it? It gets beat down and you keep hitting somebody with mere despair and mere hopelessness. What happens? The distance between you and God, the hope starts to dwindle more and more. And then you're in despair. And you're not even looking for God anymore because you start to blame him. And the people in the wilderness blame God and they blame, well, oh, you took us out of slavery. Oh, I'm sorry. You know. Well, we're just going to go and turn to what? These statues. Moses must have been raging, wouldn't he? Huh? Coming down the mountain. Ah, Josh, did you hear that, Josh? Aye, Erin, brother, Erin. Ah, we built a coup. What? Aye, we've been worshipping the coup. Can you hear any tent a minute, you? All the time. All the time. Even now. There's sin that so easily entangles. And what is it? It's a distraction. I'm not even using my notes. Stayed up Danish for ages, eh? Verse 6 says, these things happened as a warning so that we would not crave evil things as they did. And those evil things, the lines are being blurred nowadays, because what we know has been evil things. Society's pushing us, no, accept that, it's all right. Do what you want. Do what you want. And what happens then is the promised land border starts to get pushed back, because there's that many people in the wilderness and they're starting to push back in the promised land, because it's like, this is okay, this is okay, this is acceptable. And then my hearts were like, oh, we don't want to feel bad. So when somebody says, no, that's not a crime anymore. What? I know that's not a crime anymore. Dancer. Absolute dancer. Like, if they were to legalise marijuana, it's like, I know I can't go and sit and smoke bongs and joints. Because I would just, boom, start slapping the stupid button. I would go into super stupid and I would be off. Right? And why? Because it's sin that so easily entangles. And we're not looking for society to tell us what's right and wrong, have we? No, we're looking to the word of God. We're looking to the leaders that are put in my place that are God ordained. And we know it's the Holy Spirit coming in and telling us, stop it. Stop it, wee Jiminy Cricket. The Holy Spirit in the form of Jiminy Cricket upon your shoulder, trying to stop you from going to the Donkey Island. Eh? I'm telling you, Pinocchio. Oh, aye, whatever. It's that. It's that Holy Spirit telling us. But we listen to society and it dilutes it. And we're not supposed to dilute the word of God to make ourselves feel better. Because a lot of times, oh, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. Are you doing? See, when I'm doing wrong, I know I'm doing wrong. Because I'm not stupid all the time. I can pick and choose when I'm stupid so that I can try and appease myself for when I know I'm doing wrong. Oh, no, I know I'm doing wrong, but I've done it for that. No, there's no. Compromise. Compromise leads to weakening of the strength that we have. And if we compromise in the things of God, we're weakening the strength that God gives us to be able to stand. And then what? Back in the wilderness, remember, again and again. I was looking at, and obviously I'm getting into this because a big part of the Baal worship, and it says, and the people in Corinth were indulging in sexual immorality. And it's even though, like, look at the people, they had Moses there. They were guided by this cloud and then this tower of fire through the day. They were being fed supernaturally by God in the wilderness. They would wake up, breakfast in bed. Huh? Already made. They had Moses, they said, no, there's a promise, we're going somewhere. See, before they weren't going anywhere, they were just building on whatever the Egyptians had told them to build. They were just under the whip, they were under the cosh, they weren't going anywhere. But then they're going somewhere, so what is that? It's purpose. But even in face of all that, they're like, nah. Is that, what does it say? And don't grumble, as some of them did. Who likes a moan? Who likes it? I hate moaning. Seeing people moan at me, I'm just like, nah, I'm not. I swallow that bit of sick there. Just as I'm hearing you moaning, as you're sitting in the middle of opportunity and blessing. And it's, and I've done it and all. I've had a good moan, and sometimes I've had to, because my mum and dad didn't hear anything, so sometimes I've had to give myself a slap and just say, come on, what's God doing? What's God done for me? I'm aware of that. I don't want to be back in the wilderness. I don't want to be succumbing to the desires that used to so easily, the sin that so easily entangled me before. See, God has opened my eyes to a lot of that. But we've got an enemy who's going to come again. He's not going to come head on. He's going to come from his side. He's going to come at the back and try and get in any other way he can. Subtly, little things compromise. It's not, ah, no, it's only a wee sin. Anybody ever say that? Ah, it's only a wee sin. Only a wee white lie. Only a wee white lie. Until it turns into something else and somebody else's life's destroyed or your heart's broke again. See, it starts off small and subtle. It's a fine, thin thread of sin. But as it wraps round and round and round, it's still going to have the same effect as a big chain does. It's going to entangle you. It's going to stop you from moving. It's going to stop you progressing in the things of God. So there's this warning. Now, I don't know what's going on in all your lives. I don't know what some of you are contending with. I know what I'm contending with. You know, none of you are a finished article here. We've all got stuff going on. And if you're like, no, there's absolutely no sin in my life. I was like, well, you need to work on your lying then. Isn't it? You know what I mean? You need to work on your lying. Because we've all got something going on. We have inbuilt systems. Let me go on to this, because I like this bit that I wrote. Let me find it, because it was actually all right. So, we have inbuilt systems in my brain that kick in when we're seeking pleasure. There's a reward system that takes place, regardless of what it is, whether it's sex, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's having a wee gossip. I don't know, whatever it is, but there's a reward system. We do something, dopamine, and it feels good, and then it goes away. It goes away. Well, hold on, I'm not feeling good, then I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. It feels good. Eventually, it will not feel good. So I was thinking about this. Sometimes we can feel bulletproof, and we'll shout out never again, and we start to listen to the warnings, but then, you know, you'll be out, and you'll be doing your shopping, and you've brought your slim fast meals, and you've got grapes and lettuce, and you're like, ah, yes, eggs and lettuce, some fish. And then as you're walking to the car, out the corner of your eye, Greg's. Huh? I know, I'll go and buy my pal a wee pack of fudge donuts and I'll hand them in. By the time you get there, you've smashed 4 fudge donuts, a steak bacon, 2 sausage rolls. And it feels good at the time, you're like, yummity, yummity. Then it hits the stomach and the dopamine's gone and it's on, you're left with, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't chased that instant gratification. Because that's what it is, instant gratification. But then it's gone. And you're left with that feeling of, is it, for me, if it's, man, I wish I hadn't done that, or I could do better. And you start to put yourself down. And that's not a good place to be, self-pity and that as well. It's a horrible thing, self-pity. But there's wee sayings. So never again, I've heard that. I've said that a million times. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What happens when we kid ourselves on? When we lie to ourselves, it's easy to lie to ourselves. It's easy to lie to ourselves. And lead myself on that wrong path, that distraction that comes and takes my eye off God. You end up lost. Anybody feeling lost? Don't want you putting your horn up, but do you know what I mean? People are. That's not what I'm asking for, but sometimes you can be feeling lost and you don't know what's. How did I get here? And you're asking yourself that. And if you're honest, you'll know how you got there. If you take a minute and step back and say, God, how did I, and God's like that. Remember when I was shouting at you, stop, 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 and you were like, ah, it'll be all right. It's because you didn't listen to me. You're there because you didn't listen to me. You're there because you didn't listen to the warning signs. You weren't listening to the people shouting, come on, come back, come back. You're there because of that. You're there because you were chasing after things that I tell you not to be chasing after. You were there chasing after things you weren't ready or able to handle. And now you're in the wilderness screaming out, where are you, God? I've been there. It's a lonely place. It's a crushing place. Now, I want to talk about this. It says, if you think you're standing strong, careful not to fall. Temptation in your lives are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He'll not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, and when you are tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you can endure it. There's another version that says, so that you can stand up under it. And I'm thinking about that, standing up under it. It means that the weight of all that temptation is pressing down on you. And sometimes if it's pressing down on you, and listen, if you're like me, I used to be tempted by more than one thing. My list of temptations, like the enemy had a shopping list of what will I hit him with today? Oh, nothing, he's doing it himself. Happy days. The enemy get the day off with me a few times because I had this list of temptations. And because I wasn't walking with God, I couldn't endure it. I couldn't stand up under it. I was crushed by it. Crushed by it. Crushed by it. So you get entangled up with it. But then it doesn't stop there. Once you're tangled up with it, it comes down, sits on top of you and crushes you. I'm feeling a bit hangy today, a bit tangled up. Anybody feeling a wee bit, a bit of weight coming down on top of them, and they don't know what to do? Well, after all that talk about despair and getting tangled up and tripping up and all that, here comes the hope. Ah, you ready for that? Come on now. Ah? So it says, it says here, the most thing, he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. I used to read that and think, I beg to differ. Right? And it says, when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So there is temptation getting put before me that I can't stand against. I can't. Some used to think, is that wrong? Have I found the first wrong bit in the Bible? No, because it says that you will endure because he'll show you a way out. So what does that say? It says for you to be able to stand, you must be able to listen to who? God. Because he's the one that's going to show you a way out. So there's hope. There's always hope. And here's the thing. So you ever seen the documentaries like Attenborough and the Serengeti? And it's like, you want to, I don't know about you. Maybe there's some animal lovers in here that would be a bit shocked by it. I always want to see something getting caught and eaten. Do you know what I mean? So there might be I'm sorry if there's some animal lovers or what, how dare he shouldn't be allowed to speak ever again. But when you're watching it and you see that, the big shudders of it, getting down low and all that, you're like, wildebeest is getting it. Eh? And it, halfway through sometimes you're like, no, get away. But at first you're like, get it. Get your dinner. Eh? It's like me when I'm outside McDonald's. But it's that thing, what happens is, they'll go after the one of the herd that's separated from the herd. Huh? That wee wildebeest that's sitting with all its crew, sitting with all its people. Aye, you alright, aye. Grass over here's not that great, is it? Just eat your grass. Stay here. Look at that big clump over there, but don't go over there. I'm going over there to the big clump. I'm telling you, don't go over there. I think there's lines about. There's no lines about. Look about. There's no lines. I'm going over to get that bit of grass over there. Look at it. Look at that stuff. Urine's all drying garbage. That stuff over there's all nice and green. I'm going over there for that. Over he goes. He's done his leg in. Because the last time he done it, he nearly got hit. He's a, I don't know, whatever. And a tiger. You don't get tigers there. Lying. So he's over and he's eating the grass and boom, they pounce on him. Why? Because he's away from his crew. He's away from the herd. And the enemy's going to try and pull you away from the herd. And how does he do that? What separates us from God? What says, listen, if you're coming in and you're hanging about with Christians and Laniam's coming in and they're doing things that aren't godly and you're trying to warn them again and again and they're not listening again and again, you're going to be like, ah, man, I need to protect myself. I need to protect the people that I'm with, my family. I can't allow that into the camp. It's the same as back when Moses, God's like, ah, no, get them killed. You can't allow that into the camp. Because what happens is it spreads. And the poor wildebeest is over there enjoying some lovely grass. And then he's out the game. Because he was away doing something he was warned not to do. He was because there's protection in numbers. Have you ever heard that? There's protection in numbers. And if we're walking in the right way and if we're going with God, we stick together as a family of God. And we move together. We each have our individual walks with God and our relationship with God, but we're a family as well, and we should be moving as one towards the things of God and in the things of God. But he's going to give you something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you are going through right now. God does. And God is true to his word because he is truth. And he says, I'm going to give you a way out to endure. But what does it say? It says, very, very important, it says, he will show you a way out so you can, he's going to show you a way out. What does that mean? That means you better have your peepers open and your ears pinned back because there's instruction coming. There's instruction. Stop doing that. No bother. Imagine that. Oh, how sweet my life would have been if I had just went, oh, you're absolutely right, ma'am. I've been an absolute idiot. I'm going to cut that out. Right away. Yeah. Amount of times I get told to do stuff and you go, did you do that? And I lie. Uh-huh. No, you didn't, did you? Well, I did. Go and get it in. I need to go and do something first. About 40 minutes and then I'll be back with it. Yeah. Because we don't listen sometimes. For the best will in the world. And it's because that carrot that's getting dangled is so enticing. Whatever your carrot is, whatever the thing is that entices you, whatever the thing is that draws your eyes after the things of God, it looks good and it tastes good, but the minute that it gets inside you, it turns to poison. And it affects you from the inside out. So what is it? It's the things of God that we need in us. Is what's in your community. I'm going to finish here. That all right? Because I just want to remind you and encourage you. As the word of God says, don't forget. Most days I've got experiences that we can draw on from before. Most of the sin that so easily entangles us, we've probably wrestled with and contested with before, and maybe you've got out of it. So that means you know the way out. That means you know the person that's got the directions to get out of that, to get away from it. And sometimes there's going to be some sort of new sin, a new temptation that's going to come. We know where to go. Go to God. See, God will show you the way out. And even at us, okay. Paul coming in and saying, remember, right now the letters, remember. Remember what happened? Mind the big books you've been getting taught from since you were away in the synagogue, the 23,000. One day. And that's only one day. How many times? Again and again and again, remember? But what happened? Again and again and again. Well, God continued to show them a way out. So there's hope. Continual hope. Continual hope. God's hope. It says that there's his grace and mercy is enough for us. His grace and mercy. I need that. And we need that every day. That's why it's renewed and refreshed each and every day. Fresh grace and mercy every morning. Thank you. Because I'm stupid most days. I want to be on point all the time. But sometimes that sin that so easily entangles, man, sneaky, sneaky. So if you feel that you're wrapped up and you can't go anywhere anymore, I want to pray that the Lord, that there's that sin that so easily entangles, but you can come in with that word of truth and you can cut right through that and you can set us free. That you show us a way out, God. That we will listen to you, Holy Spirit. That we won't be listening to that wee voice that's saying, ah, come on, just once more, it won't hurt. You know it will hurt. We know. We know it will hurt, so let us not listen to that. Let us fine-tune our ears to the things of you, God. To your voice, Holy Spirit, to your guidance. So that we aren't tempted so easily, so that we can stand up under it. So that we have everything that we need to endure. And not only know about it, but to put it into practice and walk it out. As we were hearing there about the singing, about sacrifice and that altar. We want to be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you, Lord. Help us to do that. I need your help, God, and I know my brothers and sisters will need your help to stand up under the weight of that temptation. But help us to do that. You give us everything that we, the gifts of you, Holy Spirit, we thank you. That armour of God that comes and covers us with everything that we need to stand up and face up against it and say, I'm not going back there. I'm moving on in the things of God. I'm not going to be wrapped up and tied up so much that I can't move. God's got a purpose for me. He's leading me somewhere. I'm not going to remain in the wilderness because there's a land that God's taken me to. There's a place God's taken me to. There's a purpose God's got for me and I'm wanting to fulfill it. And I'm not going to be able to do that when I'm all entangled up in that sin. So Lord, I'm wanting to listen to what you've got to say. You're wanting to speak to us, God, right? In this moment, there's people here, me, all my brothers and sisters, we need to hear from you. We need to open our eyes so that you can show us the way to go. So help us to walk in that way. I ask us, oh, Jesus, please let us have the wisdom to listen to you so that we don't trip up under that sin, that temptation. Help us, God. Amen.